We're on episode 50, eh? I think.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Is
oh,
it?
This I is think a, so. This is our anniversary episode, though.
Yeah.
If you really think.
Ty, make it good. Make the intro good.
Alrighty. And welcome to episode. Oh shit! You interrupted me. I was on a roll, and you just interrupted me.
I'm sorry. I know that took a lot of brain power to come.
Oh
up
my
with,
god!
So I apologize.
Alrighty. Welcome to episode 50 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Ty, Luke, Martin, and Eric, and we're going to make this quick again. It's almost Luke's bedtime, and, you know, he has to go to bed, get his beauty rest. Yeah, this is episode 50, so we want to start it off by, it's a little bit of a milestone, I guess, half a century.
Is you licking your lips into the microphone, Eric? We're doing a special anniversary show here, and this guy's licking his lips and sucking his fingers.
I ate some nice brownie just now. I'm sorry.
A weed brownie or like a...
Was it a
just a regular brownie?
Ty, sorry. Continue with the with the introduction, because that was pretty low energy.
Yeah, sorry. Episode 50. I'm super excited. I'm sure you guys are too. The usual four.
Why does it sound sarcastic when you say it like that? I feel like he sounds more natural when he's just... Episode 50 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. Luke, Martin, Eric, Ty with you here today. We're going to talk about today.
That's what we were used
the
to.
The Brad Marchand.
So, hey. We're going to start it off with Brad Marchand commenting on a post, hating analytics. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, we had some news in Arizona and their ownership situation. It's still a mess. Surprise, surprise. And then maybe we'll have a quick discussion about accepting mediocrity. But again, we'll see how far we get. We'll see how sidetracked we get. Because, like I said, it's late night. Luke has to go to bed, and Eric has to go work.
It's true, man. I have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning to work out.
Yeah, and I respect that. I cannot work out in the morning. So I've tried that before. It does not work.
If I don't make time for it in the morning, it will not happen.
Dude, I cannot do morning workouts. It's just not. I can barely do like 10 a.m. workouts. Like,
I
remember
like
I used to have class at 8:30, and then I'd go to the gym after. Yeah, midday is okay. And then late night's like my specialty. Like 10 o'clock at night, it's my best workout.
Honestly,
I remember
though,
back
like
in second year, I was going at like midnight. That was bad. Good time.
Yeah, that's because you had your own gym to go to. You didn't go to the Carlton one, right?
Yes. And I got the gym to myself at midnight. That was awesome.
I would not be able to sleep after. If I work out after like 7 o'clock, I'm just wired. I'm not sleeping.
Ty, have you ever worked out in your life?
I was about to say.
Dude, I used to.
I have a hard time imagining Ty like bench pressing.
Because I didn't do that. I would not be able to do that, man. I need someone there to show me what to do. But I used to go to the gym a lot.
He used to go on the cycle.
No, Ty watches those YouTubers who are all about building ass, and that's what he tries to do for himself.
Oh, what's her name? Cindy or Wendy or
Chloe Ting?
Chloe Ting, that's it. I love how Luke knows.
Every girl is watching her at the beginning.
I knew Luke would know.
All my friends know do her workouts. Okay.
Yeah, actually, one of the girls I'm seeing, like, she uses.
I'm gonna say I've never heard of her.
One of them.
No, I'm kidding. The girl. I'm currently. Anyway.
Okay.
Do I need to edit that out?
We all only see one girl at a time on this podcast.
That is the way the world works.
So me and Luke don't see. Yeah, we see. Me and Luke see no girls. So Eric and Martin just have to make up for that.
Yeah. Once you pass it around, it's pretty spread even.
One girl for everyone, really.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into the first one now.
Okay.
Brad Marchand.
So I'm going to tell you what happened. Okay. So I'm doing my job on Saturday morning. I think it was Saturday morning. Replying to comments. You know, that's what I do a lot of the time. Put a lot of hard effort into replying to you guys' comments there. That's sarcastic.
Responded to like
10. No one could tell.
Yeah. Like
but, you know, I was responding to more. I was responding to more, and then I scrolled through. I'm like, B Marsh 63 had a little check mark. I was like, is that Brad Marchand? So I clicked on it. I was like, holy shit, Brad Marchand. And it was some stupid post about retrieving dump-ins or something like that, or for check-in.
It was I'll read. It was for a stat tracking puck recoveries and forecheck pressers for the playoffs. That's basically what it was.
And then what Brad Marchand said is they make such stupid stats these days, or something like that. Stats they make are so stupid.
Yeah, so he said, and I quote, these stats people are coming up with are embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's a very Brad Marchand thing to say. Very Brad Marchand.
It is. But it's so his personality, because he instigated, and then he got 109, as of this moment, 185 additional comments on that post from that one comment.
Almost all those comments, too, are calling him a
hockey player.
Yeah. It's just funny because, like, so at first, this comment was there for like maybe 4 hours, right? I was doing this at about noon. It said the comment was made like 4 hours earlier, so we're going to say it was like 8 or 9 in the morning on Saturday. And it only had like three.
That is what happens when you deduct 4 from 12.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Thank you for doing that math for us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So like, I look at it. There's only four likes on that comment, and no one else replied to it. So I'm like, I guess no one saw this. Because like it wasn't even like the top comment. You know, sometimes when someone who's verified has like, the comment will appear first on a post or something like that. Yeah. This was at the bottom, man. Like I was just scrolling through it and I just came across it. And then as soon as I saw it, I obviously took a screenshot. I was like, yo guys, I sent it in a group chat. I was like, yo guys, Brad Marchand commented. No one replied to me for like 2 hours.
It was literally, hey, literally I was napping. 2 minutes.
No, it wasn't, Luke. It was not it, 2 minutes. It was you not replied, 2 hours. You replied. Martin replied later that evening. He's like, I was taking a nap. Sorry, guys.
It's like Eric, 8 hours later.
Eric opened it Martin's up.
Like,
said,
I was in a, taking Eric a nap. It up. 8 hours later.
Yeah, I had a long Martin's night.
Not very, Martin's not very quick, okay? Guys, yeah. For context, Martin's response rate about making like some sort of clever comment, the Leafs is the Monday night is when they gave up the 5-1 lead. And we were I was expecting Martin to like have some sort of quip or something. He didn't message us some sort of joke about the loss until Wednesday before the game. And I was like, good 36 hour buffering time for a joke. I was so disappointed. Like, it wasn't funny anymore.
So I said, so back to the Brad Marchand thing. I was like, what do I say to this? No one replied to me again. Eric opened up the message, didn't say anything. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just make a reply here because no one's telling me what to say. And then literally 30 seconds after I post my comment, Eric says, oh, I commented, by the way.
And then I went to read the comments and then I screenshot it. And they were like almost the exact same message, except like one was way too excited. And then the other one was clearly written by an arrogant piece of shit. So I knew one was written by Eric and one was written by Ty. And I'm like, did you guys not coordinate this? You guys commented 5 minutes after each other.
Because he didn't say anything. No one said anything. I was like, what do I say to this? No one replied.
For context, silent. for context, like when I saw your message, I only saw it at like 1:30 or something stupid like that, because I'd literally woken up. Like I slept, I'm not kidding, for 12 hours and I wake up to Brad Marchand commenting on our shit. So then I'm like, okay, and I was still kind of groggy, so I was trying to like wake up, and then I went to go comment on it, and then and I sent it, and then I realized right away, I was like, oh shit, Ty already responded. And I'm going to pull up what you said because I want to read out the differences in approach between me and you when it comes to responding to shit.
Ty's like literally started with, holy shit, I can't believe Brad Marchand commented.
No, I was like, holy shit, a bunch of exclamation marks, that's it. That's the excitement. My hands were also shaking. Yeah. Mine was like, holy shit, Brad, we would love to hear your thoughts on our podcast. Let us know a time. And then like the crying emoji.
Oh yeah. And then Eric's response, would love to hear your explanations for why this is embarrassing to track. I'm looking at the screenshot right now and I'm just like, these are, unless you know who is who, like, you know that this is written by two completely different people.
Yeah. And then mine got deleted, of course. So
Yeah, because I was like, that's too, I had to delete it. So I messaged Ty. I'm like, you have to stop sucking up to these guys. You have to say it as it is.
Like, have a backbone.
Yeah, have a little bit of a backbone. Have some respect for yourself.
It's just so funny because it's not even like an advanced analytics post. It's literally, I know, that was the best who had the most basically takeaways are such a stupid stat. I can't believe they're measuring that kind of stuff nowadays.
And I bet you that if they tracked Marchand's games, he would come out ahead. He would be one of the top guys.
He'd be very high up on those types of rankings too, which was even the funnier part. And then he also responded to some people in the comments. I think he responded one or two more times.
Did
he? And he was just like, "You can, yeah." So if you go, there's so many comments, it's going to take you forever to find it. But I did scroll up and see it, and it was something like, "You can just use the eye test and see who's at the leaders in these or something like that." So I'm like, "So you're tracking them? You're just tracking them with your eyes and making mental notes of it?"
It's, well, the guy that the that stat was still tracked thing. By that guy's eyes.
And, yeah. It was still, and it's just more accurate. It was just a number. Like that was the funniest part about it all. It was just like the most basic, and like coaches track stuff like that. Like Sam Gagner talked about it, like puck touches, all that kind of stuff. Like those are very similar stats to the ones that the one that we posted anyways. So then anyways,
I think he just likes talking shit.
Well, I don't think he even believed what he was saying. I think he was just saying it to say it. Yeah. And then like it got a lot of attention because I posted it on our story, and then everyone from our story went
and I was like, dude, if he looks and reads through all those comments, there's no way he's coming on our podcast. The worst thing about our fan base is that we talk about all teams, right? And so obviously our following is all teams, and 29 fan bases hate Brad Marchand.
Hey, who's 31
fan bases. There's 31 teams. Seattle.
31,
don't forget Seattle.
That's true.
Right. I was going to say Seattle, but I forgot about Vegas too. So all 31 of 32 fan bases hate Brad, and doesn't help.
Is he the most hated guy in the league?
He's one of them, probably.
I think he's well respected, though. To be honest,
I think he knows what he does.
Like Zach Cassian is annoying, but also unskilled. So
Brad Marchand's like a lower version of Tkachuk, I think. Like he's not fully. I think there were moments where he was becoming a little bit more like Tkachuk in the sense that he was doing a lot of dirty shit, but he kind of calmed it down over the last few years, and now he's not as dirty, I think the word would be.
So yeah, it was pretty funny because, like I was saying earlier, like there were, when I opened it up after like 4 hours, there was like one person's like, "Oh, Brad Marchand," and then like it had like 4 likes on it, and then everybody commented on it. You said there's like 180 comments.
The second I posted on our story, it was over for him.
Yeah.
Like he just got flooded with like hundreds of comments.
So anyone listening to the show, first off, go subscribe, follow, leave a review. Second, DM Brad Marchand to be on our podcast.
Oh yeah,
we would love to talk.
With regards to that, I did post a story and I tagged him in it. So I kind of used the same strategy I did to get McKinnon's attention, which was posted a story and tagged him in and asked him if he'd come on the podcast or not. So I did that so I took a screenshot of his comment. I made sure we liked the comment so that he would see that, hopefully. And I just said, like, just want to say a big thank you to Brad Marchand for getting tagged him in that Brad Marchand part, for getting us an extra 175 comments on our post. However, Brad, he responded to a few others, but not us. So the question is, are you going to join us on the Talking Hockey podcast to debate why these stats shouldn't be tracked? And then, so it was weird because with McKinnon, you know, like anytime you tag someone in a story, they get it in their messages, right? Mm-hmm. That didn't happen when I tagged Marchand. So he must have that off or something because McKinnon got it in his messages when
it shows you tagged in a story or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't think it showed up for Brad Marchand, so I don't even think he would have seen it. And I went through
the probably
views
just got so many back.
What happens is like, it would go into their box, like their secondary box. So they'd have to go to like requests. They'd have to touch like the top right request button, I think.
No, but that's with McKinnon. With McKinnon, it was in his requests. And the only reason he saw it was because I DM'd him once before that and he had never responded, never seen it or anything. Mm. And then, and because he wasn't following us, right? Like, he was just watching our stories. So I tagged again. So it would have went into his secondary inbox regardless. So I don't know why Brad Marchand's is different. It might be a setting. But unfortunately, yeah, he did not see our story.
Some people only have DMs. For, like, they can only get DMs from people that follow them.
Yeah, and it makes sense because he only has like 300. He only follows like 300 people, so he might have that setting on.
Yeah, that only the people that he follows can DM him.
I just don't know how that's the post that he came across. Like, it wasn't bopping off by any means until it was a random post, man. It was literally.
Haven't you seen him look at our stories before?
I don't think so.
He'd be one of the guys.
Not firsthand.
No.
No, I've never. I usually go through every once in a while to go see. Like, literally scroll through like 5,000 people to see if there's any verified people that like looked at our stories, and I never see him. There's like a bunch of guys from the NHL, but not a bunch of guys, a few guys, but not him. And it was so weird because, like Ty said, it wasn't a post that popped off.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, so after Brad Marchand, it popped off a little bit, but before him.
Yeah.
I think there was only like 1,300 or 1,200 likes on it. Like, it wasn't a big post, and it had probably only been seen by like 18,000 people, and it had a few hundred shares.
That's why I wonder.
Now it's like 30,000.
I wonder if like some of the other players that we have following us are in group chats and stuff, and they share our content in the group chat.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, that's the dream, isn't it? Yeah.
I definitely think I thought
about that. Yeah.
Well, they're all talking to Pavelski. And they're saying you're doing so well, John, man. What's Scott your secret? And he's saying, I followed this page at the beginning of the year, guys, and it's working.
I saw Sam Gagner's Corsi is pretty high up with one of his lines in Detroit. So
it's just, you follow Talking Hockey, you get better. It's just a fact. Like, it's direct undeniable facts at this point. The evidence is.
And
Cirelli watched our story and then won a cup. I'm just saying.
Joe Pavelski got to the Stanley Cup Finals too.
Joe Pavelski got to the Stanley Cup Finals.
And if you want to talk about Marchand, after he commented on our post, he's had a goal and an assist that night. So just.
There you go.
Just saying.
It's undeniable.
I don't even know why we track goals and assists. They're kind of useless stats. I don't know.
Yeah, why do we track goals and assists? You can actually just count them in your head and watch the goals and assists. I don't know.
Why Brad, if you're listening to this episode right now, we do want you on the podcast.
We actually do want. I do.
You have to come on and defend your.
He would actually be a really entertaining guest.
Oh, he would be.
Ty could ask him about his pissing in Halifax.
And... He does piss on the streets of Halifax. Take that part out, though.
No, that's staying in. It's public record. It's not malice. Okay, next topic, Arizona. Yeah. Talking about pissing in the streets, Arizona.
So Martin also pisses on the streets, so we don't judge too much around here for that.
What are you talking about?
Right in,
I know that Marchand. For a fact. Actually, one more thing I want to talk about with Brad Marchand. If Ty didn't go and look and see that comment from him,
we probably would have gone unnoticed.
So think about so how many other people have, like, notable people have commented on a post of ours and we just never saw it.
Dude, we need to get an intern on this right now.
I know. We needed someone to go back through the last 2,000 posts and see if anyone's commented.
It's true.
Unpaid.
Yeah, I like
unpaid.
Some people will just post like "Go Leafs go" or "Go Sabres go" or whatever. I just scroll past those, but this one, luckily, I caught it because I saw a little blue check mark and I was like,
"Yeah." What? And then it made it onto the Instagram news accounts, and then I saw people on Twitter talking about it as well,
ooh,
like literally referencing that exact quote. So it went like,
let's go
from Instagram to Twitter to some of the Twitter and Athletic people that I follow. So it's circulated.
Maybe even some locker room.
Well, it's pretty big.
About it.
Like he's straight up like getting mad at advanced stats, and that's pretty big. Like,
bro,
it's not even advanced
stats.
It's
well, like people interpret it like that.
So yeah, that was the most exciting time of my life.
In general,
Everyone DM Eric that he needs to buy the Talking Hockey team subscriptions to The Athletic. Thanks.
Oh, I'll hook you guys up. It's okay. I got
it. Thanks. All right, never mind.
I just need to spend some time on the weekend and do it.
Ignore that, people.
I feel like SportsCenter today talked a lot about Stewart. He must be getting chirped like more than just us chirping Anthony Stewart, because they were talking a lot about Anthony Stewart and his lack of advanced stat knowledge today on the.
Oh, were they? Broadcast. I didn't get to watch SportsCenter. What did they say?
They were just like making jokes, like about not knowing it, and like maybe not at his expense. I wasn't really watching too closely, but I just heard them say a couple things along the lines.
Just
like,
how we roast you here, Martin, for not knowing what you're talking about.
Yes.
And we get roasted by our followers. So.
I think it's just kind of telling, because like I always relate it to real life, right? Like imagine in any other job, there's like advancements in the industry and you actively ignore, not just actively ignore it, but promote that you don't want to pay attention to it at all. You
but there's
know what
people,
I mean? Like it's such a
people,
weird
like,
concept.
In pretty high up positions on NHL teams currently that are kind of doing that still.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But like, it's even worse with like, it's not even worse. It's the same. But like, how do you actively go against something that's completely changing the industry and then like broadcast that you don't, it's not that you don't agree with it. If you don't agree with it, it's one thing, but you actively promote, you don't want to learn about it. That's a different level. You know what I mean? So it's just so weird. Cause imagine like Ty at his job,
but that's
Sonnet
like a constant.
A new insurance
that's like a
product.
Constant thing.
And I just don't care about it.
Across and then he's fields. Just like, no, I don't want to learn how to sell it. Like that's what he does. He's just like, I just don't want to learn it, right? Or Sonnet gives Ty like a new software he needs to learn to do the job, and he's like, no, I don't want to use it, and I don't want to learn. I don't even want to learn about it. It's not that I've tried it and been like, eh, it's not really like it's not helping me. He's literally just like, no, I'm not going to look at it. Like, how quickly would he get fired? Or what if like a new social media, a new version of LinkedIn showed up and Luke had to use that social media site to get guests. And he was actively just like, no, I'm not even going to go look at it. I'm doing fine with LinkedIn. I don't even need to go. Like, how long do you end up lasting? Like, it's so
I'm on everything.
Exactly. Learning that's what I'm saying. Everything. Like Luke's on everything, learning about every single freaking software in the world because that's his job. It's his duty to learn all that stuff so he can stay ahead of the curve. Like it's very simple.
So he can slide in their work DMs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Slide into everyone's DMs.
Hey man, I got some big dogs in the pipe.
You're piping big podcasts. Dogs?
Yeah. Clifford mainly, but
okay, but
we
yeah,
talk
anyways.
About that. Arizona.
Arizona.
So yeah, we'll
talking
go to
about,
Arizona
talking about
now.
Pipe and dogs. Man, I've had two really good transitions to Arizona.
Speaking of pissing
we've
on the streets.
We've ignored them both.
Okay, yeah. So Eric, give us
a new
some
article
to this.
Called From the Athletic. Great piece of journalism here from Katie Strang. I hope I said her last name right. And it's called The Dysfunction in the Desert. So great, great title. Great way to start off the article. One of the better quotes is, this is a group of people not acting honorably on the basis of business, not treating people and their partners with respect, said one of the Coyotes vendors that so supplies either the stadium or works with the Coyotes in some way. If those are the borders that define a dumpster fire, then there is indeed a fire burning within the borders of this dumpster.
That line got me.
That is an amazing quote. I don't know. Like it almost like I don't want to say it's fake, but it almost seems like a journalist wrote that. You know what I mean? Like
it almost seems like satirical.
Yeah,
but it's like no,
but
it's
like you know it's true because it's Arizona. So anyways, context for the article. Basically, this article came out, Katie Strang, she interviewed over 50 people either within the Arizona Coyotes organization or working with the organization. And basically, there's just dysfunction everywhere. People not getting paid, people abusing people, harassment, a couple other quotes here, but it's like, it looks really bad. Like,
it's
and,
on their ownership
and on
group,
top
they're...
of that. Yeah, it's just all in the ownership group, and just for a little bit more context, they not only did she release this article, Arizona then responded to it fairly quickly, basically saying, it's all lies, none of it's true, and we're going to sue you, potentially. That's basically what Arizona said in response.
Just another right? day in journalism, to be honest. Okay, I want to bring this up. Remember, like, a month ago, I think you made a post about how the Leafs had a Prime Video documentary being about them, and you made a post saying which team would make the best miniseries. Bro, Arizona 100 when I comment, I think it got was one of the top comments. But yeah, like Arizona's team would make such a good
because like, the reality NHL
TV show.
The NHL bends over backwards for this franchise, and they keep trying it. So I've been reading a lot about this ownership group and their owner. What's his name? Marullo, I think. Something like that is his name.
Marullo, yeah. Yeah. And his company is called Marullo Group.
So have you, if you look into his story, right, this is a guy who basically, he was going to buy an NBA team a couple of years ago. NBA kind of looked into his finances, and they said this guy actually doesn't have any money, right? Like, he actually doesn't have any money, and the NHL just said, all right, you want to own Arizona, you can take Arizona, you can be their owner.
They're like, they needed it off their hands.
I'm probably simplifying things a little bit, but like, this guy, from what I've read so far, this guy is like, doesn't actually have any financial backing, hence why there's reports of players not getting paid and employees not getting paid. Right.
So one also really great quote to kind of highlight how bad this group is. It was not uncommon for associates to use threats of litigation as leverage to get out of paying outstanding invoices or make payments at drastically reduced costs. Yeah. So basically they're basically threatening to sue people or threatening to take them to court or enforcing them to either reduce their prices or not have to pay at all, basically, for whatever. So let's say someone provided them with 1,000 hockey sticks or 100 hockey sticks. They're basically saying, we could pay you, but we're actually going to take you to court over this. And so instead of $100,000 for these sticks, take $40,000. And that's what
I wonder
what
if this guy's buddies with Donald Trump, because that's exactly like what.
Yeah, because it's
do.
A very
when he was starting his business.
It is
like exactly.
And a lot,
exactly,
and the thing is, a lot of small businesses can't go to court over shit like this. You know what I mean?
Oh no!
So it's probably not going to work on like Bauer or any of these gigantic corporations that help Arizona, but they're probably pressuring a bunch of these smaller guys that help out around all these other areas.
Not helping their case,
but
they're also suing her right away for writing this article.
Yeah, and they basically just said like, and they're not just suing her for like libel and shit. They're suing her for harassment. Apparently, she's harassing them and like. Has been harassing them and like whatever the legal terms are, but they're suing her for harassment and stuff too. So they're basically saying she's been in a coordinated campaign to like make the ownership or make whatever his name is Manuela or something.
Marullo
look bad. Marullo look bad. That's basically what they're saying. And then on top of that, apparently things were bad under the previous ownership group as well, but it just got the quote is increasingly chaotic and dysfunctional under the new GM and ownership.
So
which
honestly,
is weird, because I thought Armstrong was well respected.
I mean, there's probably only so much he can do, right?
One of my favorite things from that whole thing was her interviewing like people that had interviewed for the GM job, and they were like stepping back. Mm-hmm. From the interviews, even though these are like really coveted positions,
oh, yeah.
They were saying like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a GM for this team because like you guys kind of suck.
That's insane.
Yeah. Cause I think I said on an earlier podcast, if there's one team I'd want to be a GM for, it would be Phoenix. Cause it'd be like, you're literally starting from scratch.
But they don't. They're so I don't know what's going on with this team, man. Like, what does the NHL do at this point? Because how many failed ownership? This sounds like it's a failed ownership group. I don't know how you can accept this in your league, right? I mean, to be honest though, who knows what other ownership groups in the league do, right? Like,
so to Martin's point, just one thing.
Yeah.
The quote that Martin's referring to is during interviews for the GM position, multiple candidates said they felt Marullo, Gutierrez and Marullo Jr., so the group of owners, displayed a general lack of awareness about the requirements of the job. and they were turned off by the team's disorganized approach to fill holes in its staff. Like, this is bad, man. These are direct quotes from GMs or potential GM candidates. So these are highly, those are assistant GMs and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Right? So like, these are people willing to talk to Katie Strang. These aren't, and it's not like this is, they're talking to Elliot Friedman and stuff, right? Like, he's like the ultimate insider, or they're not talking about it with other GMs and stuff. They're literally taking it to Katie Strang, who's, I'm not going to say an outsider, but like, that's not the typical person that breaks this kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, she is kind of, she does kind of do like investigative, she does like investigative stories. No doubt.
She's a great, this is an amazing, like, I read that two or three times because I was just like, there's like 18 million things in this article that I want to talk about, but we'd be here for hours discussing everything, right? Because she talked to like 50 something people. Like, this wasn't 3, 4, 5 people. Like, I have no idea how Arizona. Yeah, exactly. Over a year and a half almost, basically. Like, it's, there's no way to sue her over this. What are they going to do? Like, you know what I mean?
So yes, I want to talk about something. Like, I read reports in free agency that this was after the whole Chayka thing, where he got fired and suspended by the league or whatever. But they were basically, because they didn't have a GM, so when they were trying to re-sign Taylor Hall, it was the owners going to meetings with him, and they had no idea what they were talking about. It was
really
yeah.
Where'd you hear that?
Like I said, they didn't have a GM. So apparently it was that, I think it was that Gutierrez and Marullo Jr. who were like visiting Taylor Hall and having meetings with him and offering him a contract.
It's so bad. It's so dysfunctional. And on top of that, on top of all the dysfunction, the other topics discussed with a law firm Seyfarth and Shaw, or Seyfarth Shaw, was sexual harassment, both in broader terms of workplace atmosphere and about one incident in particular, including at a holiday party in December of not last year, but the year before that. So this isn't a 1 year thing. This is from December 2019. So 2 years ago, is that 2 years ago? No, it's one year ago and a bit.
One and a bit,
I'm just like, what's math? But yeah, so this isn't like, again, she's been doing this for 18 months, right? Like Luke said.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But what do you guys think they should do? Like, I don't even have an answer.
Like, how do you force? Can the NHL force a sale?
Yes.
100%.
Probably.
100%. 100%. Yes. No doubt.
Well, I guess they do.
How many times are they going to keep? What I don't understand is how many times they keep trying this with Arizona. It's not working. Whatever it is they're doing is not working. I don't
get why it's not working. Everybody said, like, Shane Doan says he loves Arizona. Like, Austin Matthews is now from Arizona and a superstar in the league. Like, I don't get how it's not working there. Like, just get a fucking rich person. Martin's right. Like, rich people live there because it's fucking nice as shit. It's beautiful.
It's like, Arizona.
Yeah. Like, why is it not working? This should work.
You're beside Vegas, man.
Your vetting process for getting owners is the problem, I feel like.
So is that's on Bettman then, right? Because they...
Oh, 100%.
Their team is the one that vets these people, puts them in place. I assume they're helping them too. It's not like Bettman gives them the team and then he's hands off and nobody in the NHL talks to them anymore.
Right? Yeah, this sounds like
a... Well, I'm sure that's part of the reason why the NHL they're not admitting failure is because Bettman...
And NHL hasn't said anything after this story came out, right?
Well, that's even worse, right? I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen Bettman come out. I haven't seen... And that, again, going back to like those rules of PR, breaking all of them, right? Instant action, all that kind of stuff, overcorrecting, nothing.
It's going to be really bad, surprising, but if Bettman or like the NHL, I guess, comes out and like defends Arizona's ownership or something like that. It'd be awful. Just based on how accurate it sounds.
No wonder they drafted
Mitchell.
Yeah.
It sounds like he fits right in.
Well, no, but like, has any other franchise had this bad of a record? Like, okay, so going back, there's all these 50 people that she, that Katie Strang has talked to, multiple incidents, being, you know, threatening small businesses and not paying
50
them
people is a huge
stuff.
Number too. Like a huge
it was
number.
Huge. It you could build gigantic. A case off 10. The fact that she did 50.
You could build a case off of two people. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People have gone to jail. I'm not saying anybody deserves to go to jail here, but people have gone to jail with two witnesses. One <It's> witness.
Depending on the witness.
And it's not like Arizona's doing a good job of covering this stuff up, because the vendors can easily show we got paid $30,000 for the service that should have costed $100,000. It's not like the Arizona Coyotes are some like smart organization covering up their tracks, laundering money and all this. Like they're very clearly, there's very clear records everywhere of what's happening.
And if he's actually poor, like that's not good for him either, because then he just has no recourse. He's just gonna get fucked.
How does the NHL even sell Arizona? You know what I mean?
Exactly. So like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, why would another rich person want to try? Because there's been five previous failed ownership regimes in Arizona in the past 10 years. Five? I don't know, man. I'm just making something up. I don't. Okay, I'm just making it up.
I don't know if it's five.
I don't
like,
think.
Why, but then why would they want the research, to? But... Yeah. So I'm just like, that's silly of me to say, but
I think there's the NHL owned it. This guy, and then
there was a guy before.
Guy before, and then. Okay, whoever so maybe it. Four or five. Okay, so Ty's base almost right.
Yeah.
More, whoever bought more or less right. place in the first place. What about like someone like Shane Doan, like getting a group together or something? Like something could work here, I feel like, because people like Arizona. Hockey people like Arizona. So stuff
people want to live in Arizona. Yeah, like, I would live in Arizona. That'd be awesome. I would love to live in Arizona, dude. Like,
yeah, but
you know,
like
low taxes and you're rich. Sorry, I would love to live in Arizona if I was fucking loaded. I should correct myself.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say, would you like
it
to live in
like
Arizona?
It seems like an easy sell to get like, players. Like it's just
yeah, man. Like cheap. It's there. Cheap to live there. You get ridiculously low taxes. You make a shit ton of money. It's warm all year. You're right beside Vegas. You're close to California. You're right there. Like you're in the middle of like
the Grand Canyon's around there.
The Grand Canyon, like, I'm sure there's a bunch
see,
of NHL
if,
players
dude,
that love nature and shit.
For real, if I was in Arizona, the last thing I'd want to do is probably go to a hockey game. There's fair. Golf, there's so
but
many
but that's
other
also
things.
The same thing with Florida and California and everything like that too, right? And it's the same concept.
But I guess.
I don't know, but to Martin's point and to kind of Ty's point, like, I just don't know what... There's been multiple owners... It's not like the NHL is completely incompetent at finding good owners. They did a good job with Vegas. As of right now, they look like they're doing a good job with Seattle. They who is another team that was sold recently?
But those were
Carolina.
It's
not so not
actively
Carolina was
a
great job. Yeah, like there's nobody searching to buy the Arizona Coyotes. I think that's the issue.
I think it might even be even harder in the COVID world with these rich men saying that they're losing money, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's even easier right now because assets have inflated considerably. I think sports teams have just proven that they can withstand anything that happens to them. It's a great store of value.
So
right?
this Alex Morello guy, mm-hmm. a big part of his again, I'm just trying to recall back from the summertime, because that's when there were actually reports of players saying that they weren't getting paid, or not players, but like people in the organization saying they're not getting paid.
I think it was players too. I think there was like players getting paid late or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so what was said was I'm going to fact check this. Yeah. So he is big in the hospitality like services. I think he had like casinos and hotels or something like that. And because of COVID and that all shut down, that's a big reason why that's one of the reasons why he wasn't able to pay people. But I mean, it's not just Arizona who was struggling. Like friggin' Edmonton was sending bouncing checks for hotels in March.
Yes. Yes. But like, this sounds like it's bigger than COVID time. Like, this goes farther back than that. And yes, it was like March, February time that they were bouncing checks.
Anyway,
anyone have any last minute thoughts? I know Luke's eyes are closed.
I feel like we need to have one solution for Arizona here. And it's not just new ownership group.
It's move the team. You know who's an
interesting owner that we need to like pitch to? Mark Cuban.
Eugene Melnick.
Like a really good owner.
Yes. I was just about
to say
that.
We need to bring him to the NHL. Mark Cuban needs to get it.
I'm not sure if he has the
funds
for that.
Dallas is pretty close to Arizona. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm not sure how rich he actually is.
But he could put together a group. I would trust him to put together a group of people. He has a couple hundred million dollars he could throw into it.
Definitely.
The question is, would he be interested in an NHL team?
Yeah, I think his biggest thing is he really liked NBA. That's why he bought an NBA team. He just really loves basketball. So that's
basketball is more pop culture. Mark Cuban's more pop culture.
But his investment in the Mavs, or not the Mavs.
It's the Mavs.
That investment did insanely well. I forget what the totals are there.
That's partially because he's such a good owner.
That's partially because of that, and it's partially because the NBA just went on a freaking tear the second he bought that team.
Yeah, he got Dirk.
The NHL has not gone on anything near that kind of tear.
I think he'd be a good leader. That's also part of it. I think he'd be a good owner, though, because he is very hands-on, which is both good and bad. But, I mean, hey, I know some people that know Mark Cuban.
Can't get worse.
I know some people that know Mark now through this podcasting fellowship I'm doing right now.
Well, we should start lobbying. We should start lobbying that he meets up with like Shane Doan and stuff. People like that actually like Arizona as a team. So I can encourage him.
I've never heard him say anything about hockey before. That's my only thing.
I mean, I don't listen to his words.
I mean, fair point. I've listened to a couple podcasts and stuff he's been on. He talks a lot about basketball, loves basketball.
Yes.
Never heard him even mention hockey.
Yes.
But I've also never heard any billionaires talk about hockey. I've never heard anyone outside of hockey talk about hockey. Other than to mention who cares about hockey.
That's true.
Yes.
It was like Gary Vee, an infamous Gary Vee, yesterday posted a video of his like underrated, overrated or whatever. One of his series that he does, I guess. And then he was basically just like, hockey isn't a big four sport anymore. And MMA, UFC, and he was even like, soccer is ahead of the NHL right now.
It's true.
And then like, and I even said like, in pure numbers, technically no, like amount of fans, revenue, all that. But in terms of like, if you take the under 30 crowd, the NHL is 100% seven or maybe even lower, right? Like esports gonna be bigger than the NHL soon, for sure. Maybe probably not in revenue, but in terms of cultural relevance and attention, probably, yeah. And then MMA at UFC, both huge. Even boxing is becoming gigantic, right? Like, Logan Paul goes into a fight and gets, you know, how many pay-per-views did he get? Was it like, it was a stupid amount.
A lot.
It was like tens of millions, right? So that's the Stanley Cup gets a couple million viewers, the finals.
Yeah. So it's an issue.
So I don't think we're getting to mediocrity and Galchenyuk. Yeah,
we'll save that for next week, boys. Unless something big comes up, that's our topic for next week. Luke's saying that because it's bedtime and Eric's work time.
That's true.
I can tell.
I have to pray that this guy's still awake.
Text him. Hey, yeah, text him. You up?
Sending that you up. You up, babe? Sexy you up text at 11 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Want me to bring anything? I can stop by the gas station.
All right, I just texted him, so hopefully he responds and I can close him tonight. All right. That's going to be my evening.
I'm going to close this out tonight, Ty, because I'm honestly getting tired of your boring intros and outros, so...
Luke's going to record over Ty's intro.
Who knows? He probably does, man. I don't know.
I definitely do not. I don't create more work for myself than I don't have to.
Luke just said you're bored.
That's true. I did say
you
that.
You should have heard. Okay, so Luke sent me a clip a couple of weeks ago of me in one of the first podcasts, and I did sound bored. So this is energetic me 50 episodes in. Way more energetic.
I can't see. This is exactly what we're talking about. When earlier Eric's like, is that satire? Because you sound very sarcastic when you say it. I actually think I sound boring, but when I listen back to myself, I sound way more engaged than I think I sound. Ty, I think you sound.
I listened to our.
Very unengaged.
I listened to our last episode and it was just like that. And I listened to Ty's intro and I'm just like, oh God.
Yeah. I wonder how many followers we lose after 30 seconds.
You guys let me start doing it and never took it away from me. So
who's tried many times? We've tried many times to take it away from you, I think. I'll be like, Eric, do the intro today. And then Ty will be like, no, this is my job. And then he'll just come in.
You see, I like being able to bring something each week. It's the intros, the most important part. I bring it.
You bring your intros and a fat ass.
That's right. Too bad. Maybe next time if we're recording video, I'll be sure to put it behind. Put
we
the
are recording
behind
video.
Me. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, oh, that's true. I can tell because the camera's on.
Yeah, way to
you're
go,
special.
Smart
ass. You're special.
Okay, anyways,
you're real
thank
special.
Thank you, everyone,
Ty.
So much for listening to this week's episode of Talking Hockey. They're talking through my outro. This is episode 50. Thank you, everyone, so much for sticking around for 50 episodes. That takes a lot of insanity and stupidity, but we appreciate that here at Talking Hockey. So if you like the episode, subscribe, review. Tell Martin in the DMs how much you love him and his sexy face. And then tell Eric, as always, how much you hate him. We love that kind of content here at Talking Hockey. Content. And yeah, hopefully we have some of those big guests lined up in the coming weeks.
Next week we have a guest.
Oh, do we? Eric,
Mark
share.
Yates. He's a director of Instat for North America, director of North America for Instat. So... analytics guy, Instat, but Instat isn't just analytics. It's a gigantic company that tracks sports games, video, all that kind of stuff. Powers a lot of teams, a lot of
bro, Eric's CHL gonna
teams.
Nut. Eric is going to nut.
So we have him next Wednesday.
Yeah. Brad, next Wednesday, what time? What time, Eric?
Great question. We're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah. So I love how Eric doesn't tell us anything. Whenever
I only found out right before we got on the podcast.
Okay. Well, whenever I'm reaching out to potential guests for the show, I tell them the entire time. So
Eric's a busy guy. He can't remember to do all these things. He's one man. He's got true. So much to do.
I did tell you guys that I was inviting him on. It was just remember. It was like a while back though. It was like a week ago.
So tune in next week to hear this. Eric nut.
Yeah. I probably won't be on that episode just because it'll just be I won't understand anything that's going on. So it's best not to have me on.
Yeah, it's always best not have you on. But yeah.
Anyway, Luke, this outro is still going.
Well, that's not my fault, okay? Eric just jumped in saying that he had another guest. Anyways, thank you everyone so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye.